change is possible because Jesus changes everything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love this family of God here. I love that we're walking through. Satan puts a stumbling block in your path. We take that and we put it in the brick wall to keep Satan out. We're taking what he put bricks he puts in the path and we're building them into walls to let Jesus in and keep Satan out. I love it. Yeah. I love this body that's going to walk, right? We're pointing fingers at Jesus because he changes everything. I love that. Love you guys. Thank you, body of Christ. Next Sunday, we're just going to take the whole day and just say thank you. I guess that's not, the whole day next week is just appreciating you guys. So I'm just, my heart's already overflowing this week for next week. But just thank you for being vulnerable. Thank you for being a place where change can happen. For pressing into the presence of Jesus, because it's Jesus that changes everything. Like, we all struggle to be better people. Yay. I mean, I'm all for that. But, like, that can only go about this far. And then Jesus has to take the 99%, right? He changes everything. And so, thank you guys for being a place where someone can come feel comfortable standing up here and bearing their soul. And we're going to cheer them on, right? You guys are great cheerleaders. I don't know who's... Anyone still has their pom-poms? Anyone still got your pom-poms from high school? Taylor asked a couple weeks ago, if I still have my football jerseys from 1988 when I graduated. Everyone's going like, what? So he's got all his jerseys hung up in the basement where our gym is. And so he's, Dad, can I hang up your jerseys? I'm like, that's right. We are in our series called Formed. How fitting, Josh. We're talking about being formed. Formed into the image of Christ. We talked about... I was at the men's, I don't know if you guys were here when I shared the statement I'm going to share, but you'll get it if you were. We've been talking about following Rabbi Jesus. He was rabbis in that culture. They were teachers and they had followers. And that's what Jesus was saying. He was a rabbi. He was saying, come and follow me. That just didn't mean just follow me to McDonald's or whatever. That meant follow me with your whole life. And so the three key things were... being with Jesus, and that's what we constantly have in rotation in our lives for the rest of our life now. We're going to be with Jesus, we're going to be like Jesus, and we're going to do what Jesus did. We're just constantly in some form of that. We're being with Jesus every day, and then we're becoming like Jesus, and we're constantly doing what Jesus did. That's the pattern. And I said, there's an ancient Hebrew blessing, an ancient Jewish blessing that goes, because the goal is to be close to your rabbi. And so the blessing is this: may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And that was the blessing. May your life be so close to who you're following. And we as Christians are following Jesus. And I just pray that you would smell like Jesus. Right? You ever get close to someone and their cologne rubs off on you? Right? Let's get so close to Jesus that we smell like Christ to others. So we were down at the men's retreat men's conference this weekend, Taylor and I, and Tim Tebow was up on stage and he said, there's an old saying that says, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And I looked at Taylor, he wasn't there that day, but I'm like, hey, I said that in church. So we're talking about being formed, this idea of that you guys are all being formed, right? We said this every week. You're already being formed. And there's about a half a dozen of these statements now. You're already whatever, and you don't know it, but just, you know, so this is one of them. We're going to give you another one today. But you're already being formed unintentionally. The world is forming you. Your fleshly desires is forming you. Sin is forming you. Media is forming you. Your friends are forming you. Your family of origin, your history is forming you. The experiences that you go through in life are forming you, right? If you've ever, when I was a little kid, I love how these random stories just pop up. They're just there in my head. And I'm like, where did that come from? I was talking, and when, you know, you're a kid in South Dakota, and you wear I had a Jock Seeds hat, you know, a farmer hat, and I'm talking with my cousins, probably, I'm guessing Sean was probably there, and a bunch of us, and I lean up, and I grab the fence, because we're just talking. Well, it was an electric fence. I knew all about electric fences. We always played games, especially at the Lesners. They had a cool one. We'd make a whole big chain, you know, and the last guy always gets really zapped and whatever. So I knew about them. I just didn't realize or forgot that one was there. And so I leaned up, there was a regular fence there too. So Like, those things unintentionally form you. Guess what I was very alert for the next couple years? I'm looking for electric fences everywhere. It forms you. Do you see what I'm saying? Tragedy forms you. Celebration forms you. And also, we're all being formed. But Jesus is like, all right, you guys are being formed. I'm asking you to be transformed, right? Transformed in the image of Christ. And there's steps that we need to do it. So we pray the prayer like we prayed this morning. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. I want you to be the Lord of my life. That's this initiation. I believe the things. Now I need to live it out. What do we do next? That's what this whole series is what are we doing? How do we do this Christian life? What do we do next? How do I become more like Jesus? And that's a frustration. If anyone's ever been a Christian for longer than like 8 minutes, you've been frustrated that you're not more Christ-like. And so some of what we're talking about, because good intentions and want to only take you so far. And then something else needs to change in order for you to change, right? So that's what we're talking about. So today the whole series is really about this. It's really about, it's about change, but it's about what role does spiritual disciplines or spiritual practices, what role do they play in our life? And some of you, that's weird language. You're like, I don't know what that means, Pastor. Well, it's a good thing I'm going to tell you. It's all the stuff. The practices are the stuff. Practices is stuff that we practice as Christian. It's coming to church. It's worship. It's fasting. It's prayer. It's silence and solitude. There's at least probably 9 to 15 kind of ones that Big C Church that we've practiced for 2,000 years. It's prayer. Generosity, gratitude, it's evangelism, it's witnessing, right? All of those things that are just the stuff of Christian life. And that stuff that we practice helps reform us into Jesus' image. And we can get stuck with, oh, I have to do this stuff to be a Christian. Kind of, yes, but that's not how we get to heaven. So don't get stuck in the, this is how I get to heaven, this is how I get right with God. That's not it at all. These are things to get us, get our lives to look like Jesus. It's part of following our rabbi, our teacher. It's part of becoming Christ-like. And that's just what we do as Christ followers. We're saying, be Lord of my life. How does he be Lord of my life? Some of these practices, or so if you hear me say practices or disciplines, I feel like there's one more word that I can't think of right now that I may use or you might see in one of my quotes over the next number of weeks is we're just kind of talking about these things. These are joyful things. And we think of them as kind of like drudgery. Oh, I got to do more stuff for Jesus. When you do these things, you just come alive, right? If you do them in the right spirit and with the following Jesus. And so it's... They're practices, the spiritual disciplines, they're practices based on the lifestyle of Jesus that create time and space for us to access the presence and power of the Spirit. And in doing so, we'll be transformed from the inside out. That's where Christianity is different than every other religion. Every other religion is outside in. You better do the things, whatever, and then maybe you'll get whatever. We get right with God first. And then as we do this stuff, we're transformed. Jesus does the work. These habits of devotion and experiential Christianity have been practiced by God's people since biblical times. All right, a couple of longer quotes, and then we'll go on to some other stuff. But Richard Foster wrote a book called Celebration of Discipline back in the 70s, and it's a great book. I don't have a picture of that book up here. I was going to do that. He says this. The classical disciplines of the spiritual life call us to move beyond surface living. Full stop. Look at me. How many Christians raise their hand in a service or come up for an altar call or go to in the old days, a Billy Graham crusade or something. They give their lives to Jesus, but then that's all that's ever happened. It's just very surface. Well, I know about God, and that's kind of it. What he's saying is these practices invite us into the depths, into the deeper parts. They invite us to explore the inner caverns of the spiritual realm. They urge us to be the, I love this line, they urge us to be the answer to a hollow world. I'm going to read that again, church. This is talking about you. These practices urge us to be the answer to a hollow world. And he's going to challenge us this way. We must not be led to believe that the disciplines are only for spiritual giants and that they're beyond our reach, right? Spiritual practices, right? They're just for some kind of monk somewhere that's just going home, right? Like stuck away in a room somewhere. No, They're not beyond our reach or only for contemplatives who devote all their time in prayer to meditation. Far from it. God intends the disciplines of the spiritual life to be for ordinary human beings. You guys aren't very ordinary. You're weird. For people who have jobs, who care for children, who wash dishes and mow lawns, right? For your average, ordinary people, that's what spiritual disciplines are for, to create space for Jesus to show up in our life in ways that he wouldn't normally. God's given us the disciplines, Richard goes on to say, of the spiritual life as a means of receiving his grace. They allow us to place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. That's the key to this whole thing. All of these disciplines make room for God to show up in your life in a more powerful way and in a different way. He gives this analogy. A farmer is helpless to grow grain. Where's Alan at? Have you planted anything yet this fall, this spring? A little early? Okay. How much effort, once you put the seed in the ground, how much effort do you do to get that stuff to grow? Well, yes, but to actually make it germinate, to, like, you're not out there every day, come on, you got this. Like, he starts the process, but he can't, like, if the seed decides it's not going to grow, it's not going to grow. He can't do much to it. He can create the conditions, though, and that's exactly what this is talking about. He cultivates the ground, talking about that. He waters the plants, he plants the seed, waters the plants, and then, say, and then. And then the natural forces of the earth take over, and up comes the grain. But if it's not for that, he can water and fertilize and plant and cheerlead those seeds all he wants, right? He does the stuff he can do. He plants, he waters, right? This is the way that it is with spiritual disciplines. They're a way of sowing to the Spirit. The disciplines are God's way of getting us into the ground. They put us where he can work within us and transform us. This kind of sums it up here. The practices are how we do what we can do in order to be formed into people who can eventually do what we currently cannot do, live and love like Jesus. Has anyone ever tried to force yourself into being more joyful? You ever tried to try harder to be more patient? How's that working out for you? Let's ask your spouses. We confuse doing and being. And so there's all these commandments in the scripture that are impossible for you to do. Now, there are commandments that we can do, and some of these are like the disciplines. So the disciplines, the practices, are the doing. And then Jesus creates something inside of us that changes our being. So let's look at, I don't know if any, like, who can tell me what's going on in this picture? Let's see. What is odd about this picture? What's not normal? Yeah, his son. Oh, you know what that is? We all have a very clear indication. So where has he been? In the sun. So it doesn't matter how hard. Maybe this boy had chores to do that morning before he could. It looks like he's at a lake or an ocean or something. And maybe they live on the lake. I don't know, but probably not. So he probably had to have someone drive him, or he had to get on his bike and, you know, get to the lake. And then, you know, he had to take his shirt. I had this analogy in my head, and I thought, how am I going to put a picture of someone sunbathing up here that's half naked in a church? This is not appropriate. And I found this one. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's what I want to talk. Because, like, the analogy is solid. My media was not going to be good. So this works. So this is appropriate. So he had to get his gear ready to go, right? He had to change into his swim trunks and whatever. But when he got outside in the sun, how much effort did he put into being sunburned? None. It just happened, right? But he got in the right environment. He had to do some stuff to get in that right environment. And what would happen if he did all that same stuff and went in the environment tomorrow? He'd be crispy. Another one of those stories. Pop. I don't know why I look at Stan. I like how you're going to give me some answers why these stories pop in my head. So I was in college. I was a freshman in college, and my buddy Chris Worry, he's from Canada. He's the first person that I knew from Canada. So he was just down, or he was across the hall from me, and a big weightlifter guy. So he, like any big weightlifter guy, was pretty vain. You know, you looked at yourself in the mirror a lot, whatever. And while he's from Canada, I'm from South Dakota. We're both from way up north. He's going to school in Springfield, Missouri. It's hot down there, right? Missouri people. Bunch of heathens. So I'm going to Bible college down there, and our college gets out in April because it's a short college, like it's normal, but. And it's already warm enough to suntan. And I'm like, come on, April at home. It's like 20 degrees yet. And so we're out there suntanning. First time of the year, we're suntanning. And my friend Chris, he's white. And he's not white, he's white, white. He's white, white from Canada white. Like he hasn't seen the sun really ever. And so he's a big guy, he's got big lats and pecs, and he's, you know, and he decides he's gonna, this is 1980 something something, he decides he's gonna go to the store, he's gonna buy a bottle of baby oil and a mirror. He lathers himself up, so we're out laying out in the grass in the park, and he's dripping with baby oil. If you're not familiar, baby oil does not have any sunblock, and it magnifies what the sun is doing. And then he's got the mirror, and he's putting the mirror on him so that he can even more magnify the sun. And he's laying there, and we're walking by, and we're like, dude, you are so red, it'll turn into a tan. Like, Chris, you gotta go inside. You're great. Nope. And he's changing the angle on the mirror to get a different part of him. And finally, he starts to feel a little bit burnt. If you've ever had a sunburn before, you know that about 4 hours later, it gets way worse than it is now. He goes inside. About an hour later, he's pounding on the door. He's got baseball-sized welts and blisters all over his body. I don't remember if he went to the hospital or not. He's getting sick. He's throwing up. And we're like, okay, that was too much. But you see what I mean? You have to do the work to put yourself in that environment, but it wouldn't matter how hard he worked, he couldn't get any more tan or any more even red. The sun has to do that. That's the way it is with spiritual disciplines, spiritual practices. You can read the Bible all you want, you can fast all you want, you can pray all you want, but if you're not allowing Jesus to do the work, those are just the means. They're the road, right? But someone else has to do the work. The car has to do the driving. You can turn the wheel, but the car is the one that, you see what I'm saying? The sun is the one making him burnt. So, like this. Bible says, be more joyful. Be joyful, okay? So we can grunt and groan and squeeze and, right? We can do all the things and try to work up some kind of pretend joy inside of us. Or we can, spiritual practice is gratitude. Which is also a fruit, but it's also a practice. I can start walking around looking at, wow, I'm blessed. And just start writing down how blessed I am and thank Jesus. Thank you that my car started this morning. Thank you that I have a job to go to. Thank you that my kids are healthy. Thank you that we have food for supper tonight. And you start doing that. You do that for a couple hours, and a couple hours turns into a couple days. Guess what's going to happen? All of a sudden, joy happens on the inside. Why? Because you're doing a practice, which is producing joy, which your practice isn't producing the joy, Jesus is, but you're recognizing. Do you see what I mean? We're created. Is everyone with me? These are not magical things that do something in themselves. What they do is they make space for Jesus to do his things. And so we need to change our lives a little bit. Here's a thought. Before we set out on a journey, we need at least two things. We need, number one, a compelling vision of our desired destination, right? We got to know where we're going. And it has to be compelled. We have to want to go there. And we need, number two, a plan for how to get there. We're talking with Marnie just the other day. She said, hey, have you thought about vacation this year at all? I was like, you know, I just was starting to think about it. And so I spent a whole Saturday pulling up possibly, potentially West Virginia. Like, we might go there this year. And we've been through it, but we've never stayed there. I'm sorry if I offended you guys. Just... No, they have an engagement they need to be at. So I'm looking at the pictures of these gorgeous, you know, hills and trees and just cool rivers and waterfalls. And that is compelling me to want to go there. All of a sudden, I've got a picture of what this could look like, right? So all right, now I need to make a plan. And so then I've, how the way I do it, Marnie and I do, like I make a, I've got a sheet that's online and I can access from everywhere. And I started going, day one, well, we could make it this far. Day two, we could stay over here. Day three, well, we could see, we'll go over and see this. Now I'm getting a plan. And so every month, we all throughout 12 months out of the year, we start setting aside money and it goes in a little envelope and we're getting ready because we don't get a bunch of money at vacation. Well, except for when Steven does his goofy things and you guys bless us like crazy. Oh, man. Thank you for that, by the way. And I still get mad at Steven for doing that. You guys love us so much. So well. Anyways, but we kind of put a plan together. We put a plan together. Here's some things we plan for. We plan for engagements and weddings and honeymoons, right? We plan for kids and family. A lot of you guys have a, how many kids you're going to have or want to have and what your family should look like. We plan our, or you should plan your money or your budget. All right, this bill needs to be paid. All right, if we save up this much, it can take about 4 months and then we can buy this one thing. You plan out your career. You have a plan. I need to go to college or I need to get this certification or I need to get a relationship with this guy so that he can teach me how to do this kind of stuff. You plan your schedule, your calendar. Anyone have a calendar on the wall at home that everyone in the family looks at? Where you write your stuff? Or do you guys have a shared app that we use? Is anyone just not answering today? You're just like, I don't even care. All right, that's fine. Anyone just, no one plans. We just, I just wake up and then that's what I do. I just, it's morning time and where do I go today? You plan for education. You plan for retirement. You plan for exercise and diet and health. Whatever box mentally I'm kind of in at the time. So right now I'm trying to get a little bit healthier and I've been very consistent with working out, trying to get the diet dialed in a little bit more. And we're under-muscled and under-proteined. So trying to get the protein in. Anyone ever tried to hit your protein numbers? That's a tough job. If you're trying to go for like a gram per pound, that's like 40 chicken breasts. Not really. But you just are constantly, if you do not plan to get the amount of protein in that you need to, you're going to get to like 3 o'clock and be like, I need like 140 grams yet. How am I going to eat? Because protein makes you full. And so you got to plan for it. You kind of got to plan. You know why diets fail? Because you don't plan. You show up at work on Tuesday and you're like, been trying to eat good this week, and it's like a crisis now. Now you're mad. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to think on Sunday night what you should eat through the week, and you make these little things that are set aside. And you got your overnight oats. Anybody? No? A couple of you? Okay. Just saying. We plan all these other things. You know what we don't plan out? We don't plan out our Christian life. We don't plan out. We don't have a plan of attack. We don't have a schedule. We don't have a list of things that we should do that is going to make me look more like Jesus. We don't plan that out. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about a phrase that you may hear in the upcoming weeks, a way of life. A way of life. It's how all of your habits and your routines and your practices are arranged in your daily life to make up what you would call normal living. Okay? Normal living. So way of life. Say way of life. Right, and I don't use that phrase a lot, but a lot of the literature that I read talks about that. So look at this, in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For this very reason, Paul is saying, I've sent to you Timothy, my son, who I love, who's faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my, say it with me, way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. John Ortberg says this. He said, you must arrange your days so that you are experiencing deep contentment, joy, and confidence in your everyday life with God. Well, that sounds great, John Ortberg. What does that mean? Well, it's a good thing we're going to tell you what that means. It should sound odd that he's saying that you have some control of how you arrange your days and your schedule of how much joy and contentment of God that you experience. Because we would tend to think of that as, well, I guess you kind of think you accidentally stumble into it. I woke up this morning and I just felt the Lord and God's just been with me all day, right? But that just kind of feels accidental. John's saying you can actually schedule that. You can actually arrange your days to create space for that. How cool would that be? Would anyone think that would be cool that you could arrange your day to experience more of Jesus? Does that sound like an appealing thing? Yeah, it takes a little bit of work, though. It takes a little bit of thinking. All right, here's the latest. You got to do this, but you already are doing this, right? We've had a half a dozen of those. All right, here's the latest one. You already have a way of life. We're talking about this way of life of Jesus, right? Whatever. You already have a way of life. You already have this organization of habits and practices and things that you do. And if you just don't zone out, I mean, nudge everyone, hit your neighbor just hard. I mean, just elbow them. Like, make sure they're awake. I want you zoned in. This nugget right here, this hit me in my gut so hard when I read it. All right? Okay? Let me ask a question first, and then we'll go to the next slide. How many of you would like to be more like Jesus? Okay, six of you. All right. How many of you have ever been discontent with how much Christ-likeness is in you, right? You want more, right? Okay, a few more of you. All right. You already have a way of life. Let me, if you're just going to take a self-assessment in this morning and just go, all right, how Christ-like am I? Where do I need work, right? Don't get depressed, okay? Think of this. Your system is perfectly designed to give you the results that you are getting. I about threw up and rejoiced when I saw that. Because we live thinking, I don't have a system. Oh, honey, you do. You have a system. What you are right now is a product of your system. You have an organizational system. Like, it might look chaotic, but the system that you have right now is perfectly fine-tuned to give you the results of who you are sitting in that chair right now. Gross. John Mark Comer, one more quote from him. He says, if your emotional life is off kilter, if you feel far from God, if you're stressed or anxious or chronically mad, and you're not becoming a more of a person of love, then odds are that something about the system of your life is poorly designed. Because your life is the byproduct of your lifestyle. That's the practices. That's changing the stuff that happens on a hourly, daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly schedule. It's changing those things so that I'm the kid that puts the trunks on and goes out and stands in the sun. Come on, Red. Baby oil and mirrors, right? I wish I would have had a picture of that. That was before cell phones. Think about that. That story was before there was a cell phone. That's crazy. But your life is the product of your lifestyle. Annie Dillard, she's a writer. She says, how we spend our days, of course, is how we spend our life. Your life is made up of a bunch of days. And we always think We always think something. God's going to do something later. We always think, I'll get better. And when is that? Later. When's that going to happen? Later. How about when? Someday. Right? But I've lived 500 or 600 or 700 days since then. And later is always later. Right? But I need to reorganize things today. So in the spiritual practices, we're going to actually talk about one as we close up here today. The questions are, what things do I need to add to my routine? And what things, part of spiritual practices is just subtracting things, like things that are destructive, things that aren't adding to my spiritual walk with Jesus. What am I going to take away from my life? So we're just going to end today talking about, I think, probably one of the greatest spiritual practices that will bring marked and measurable change in your life. It's this right here. Scripture reading, Bible reading, the Word of God. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is our template. The Word of God is the revealed will of God for your life. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It's able to divide asunder hearts and spirit and thoughts and souls and minds and attitudes and motives. It's able to discern and tell us back who we are and show us who we need to become. The Word of God is the plumb line for our life. It's the source of truth. It's our direction, and it's our voice of God primarily in our life. There's a study that was done in 2003, and I'm going to read you this study, and this is crazy stuff, you guys. In 2023, the Center for Biblical Engagement released findings from a groundbreaking 8-year study. They tracked over 100,000 people ages 8 to 80, that's quite a wide range, across 20 countries, so this isn't just cultural, this is 20 different countries, analyzing everything from emotional health and moral behavior to spiritual growth and how actively people lived out their faith. Here's what they were trying to understand. Here's the questions they had. Does reading the Bible really make a difference in someone's life? And if so, how does regular Bible engagement impact those areas? So a study, 8-year study, 100,000 people, 20 different countries. They're studying, they're tracking, they're following up on these people. They're going, here's what we want to know. Does reading your Bible make a difference, or is that just something you do because you're told at church that you're supposed to read your Bible? Right? Does reading your Bible make a difference in our everyday normal life? Can reading the Bible make a difference? They found that reading the Bible one day a week or twice a week had little or no measurable impact. Three times, a slight improvement. But at four times a week, say four. Actually, do this. Hold up the number four. Say four. Four times a week, the numbers jumped off the charts. There was another study done back in 2013 that said the same exact things. The percentages were almost identical. That was about 40,000 people, I think, is what that was. Four times a week, the numbers jumped off the charts. People who engage with Scripture at least four, how many times? Four. At least four times a week experienced a dramatic drop in destructive habits. A noticeable lift in emotional well-being. How many want to be more emotionally healthy? A surge in spiritual what? Practices like giving, sharing their faith, and discipling others. And just to be clear, this study wasn't comparing Christians to non-Christians. It compared Christians, churchgoers, who occasionally read the Bible with those who read it consistently. The difference was massive. Excessive drinking dropped 62% when you start reading your Bible four times a week. Viewing pornography dropped 59% when you start reading your Bible four times a week or more. You can read it more than that, but at least four times a week. Sex outside of marriage dropped 59%. Gambling dropped 45%. Lashing out in anger, 31% drop. Overeating or food issues, 20% drop. Mishandling of money, 20% drop. Changes in lifestyle just because we're reading the Bible four times a week or more. Your emotional health improved. Bitterness dropped 40%. How many want to be less bitter? Well, you need to be, I'm telling you. How many have ever had destructive thoughts? They dropped 32% simply by engaging with the Scriptures four times a week or more. Discouragement. Anyone ever had a season of just discouragement? 31% drop in discouragement just by reading the Bible four times a week. Loneliness, 30% drop. Anxiety and fear, 14% drop. Spiritual practices, what we're talking about, they increased dramatically. If you read the Bible four times a week, your giving to the church increased 416%. Because you see in the Word of God that giving is a pathway to generosity and flourishing and heart change and the blessing of God in our lives. Memorizing Scripture, 407% increase. Discipling others. You're sharing your faith and you're helping others to be like Jesus. 231% increase. Sharing your faith, 228% increase. Giving to other causes. Generosity just increases when God's word gets in your spirit. 218% increase. Feeling spiritually stuck, stagnant. 60% drop. Wow. If anyone's ever felt stuck spiritually, just engaging with the Word of God over 8 years, 100,000 people, ages 8 to 80, over 20 countries, showed that 60% drop in feeling stuck spiritually, feeling like they can't please God, that dropped by 44%. Wowzers. Read your Bible how many times? Four times a week or more. We would love to see more. But we're going to start with four, because four seems to be something in our human soul, something with how God wired us, that many times a week, it ignites some kind of process in us. So we don't know why it works. We know it works. So how do I get started? How do we start? We're finishing up here. How do we start this? How do I get started this week, you say? Oh, I didn't grab one of those. Grab me one of those daily breads, Isaac, from the table right out there. Yeah. It's a small book that says Daily Bread. Any out there? They were getting low. Maybe we ran out of them. Check on the right. Anyone have one? Oh, they're there. Found one. These are given to our church for free. We give money to the ministry. We don't have to, but they encourage you to donate. And we want to provide these for you guys. We don't provide them, but they show up every 3 months. They show up a new batch. And in here is the date and a little portion of scripture and a little devotional by someone. This one is The Community of Believers in Church Participation. It's by Donnie Franks. And he's a connections pastor in a church, right? There's all these people that just write a little devotion. You can do this in about 80 seconds if you're a fast reader, right? This doesn't take hardly anything out of your day, and you're getting a little nugget of scripture and a little bit of devotion, a little bit of talking about it. Like, this is low-hanging fruit. Like, if you haven't started anywhere and you just don't know what to do, and I would encourage, even if you are reading your Bible every day, these are great. It's a great little devotional to just start. Just start doing something, right? Start doing something. If you don't have a Bible, we give out Bibles here almost every week, right? We dedicate part of our church finances, part of the money that you guys give. That's why it's important. We kind of fund this thing, right? Because we're helping people as they're coming to Christ. And so we handed out a Bible today. We're at least one. A couple, I think. And so that happens regularly. And so, you know, some Bibles are cheaper. Sometimes we get more expensive ones. Sometimes Barney finds deals because we're always looking to be great stewards of your finances. And we want to do the best that we can with every dollar that we're given. And so we try to always have Bibles on hand, right? But if you don't have one, come talk to me. Talk to Marnie. Marnie would be the better one to talk to. Long blonde-haired piano player back there. Talk to her and we'll get you a Bible. Like, we want you to have your own Bible and write in it. If that bothers you, don't. Put a piece of paper in it and write on that. But take notes, right? Get a Bible. YouVersion.com. It's YouVersion at Bible.com. It's from Life.Church. There's other good Bibles, and we encourage you to have other Bible apps as well. Bible Gateway is fantastic. But YouVersion is super cool for a bunch of different reasons. Let's just go to this slide here. It looks like that. And you see this right here? Life.church, that's the one. Because there's a bunch of them that have that kind of Bible on the front of it. Like, there's nothing, like, you can use whatever one you want. But if you're just asking for advice, get that bugger, because they've got so many, like probably hundreds of, what do you call them, Bible reading plans. So you can do a 4-day Bible reading plan on jealousy. You can do a 8-week Bible plan on having more joy. You can do it, and it will take you each day. It will, like, you do it, and then you hit continue, and then it's ready for the next day. And then it comes up on, when you open up the app, that day is loaded up and ready to go. And then you go through that, and you hit continue. And then, so this is what I use for my daily Bible reading. I read through the Bible, through the whole Bible once every year. If you are not doing reading the Bible, please do not read through the Bible once in a year. You'll make it about 3 weeks. Like, don't start that big. That's too big. That's too much. Okay? So let's go back to this. Pick a time to read it and just do it. Right? Make a plan. Tell someone, make a plan. Right? And then this is my point that I just made. Start small. And our goal is to get at least 4 days a week that we're engaging with the Word of God somehow. Where do I start at then? Well, start in how many days does January have? Do you guys know? 31. Has anyone ever heard of the book of Proverbs? How many chapters does it have? 31. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? So if this is, what even is the date today? January what? February. February what, 22nd? So if I don't have a Bible reading plan and I just want to start today, one thing I could do, I could just go to the book of Proverbs and go to chapter 22. And there's been times in my life where I've been super busy or just not in a Bible reading plan or whatever, where I'll do that, whatever day it is. If it's the 13th, I open to the 13th chapter of Proverbs. Just like, I got to get some Bible in today. Sometimes I'll read the whole chapter. Sometimes I'll just read 4 verses. But I got to get some Bible engagement because it's so important. It's the word of life. Right? Or do a psalm a day. Psalm 119, that's a long day. Psalm 119 is really long. Might need to do that over like a week or something. If you got a paper Bible, put a bookmark in there. right? You can do that. That's okay. Start with the Gospel of John. These are just thoughts, right? And these are probably good thoughts. Like, I would not start with Leviticus. Like don't do that. You know, probably don't start with Revelation. That's apocryphal literature. Like, it's the Word of God, but it's intense, right? It's all over. You're going to have more questions than you're going to have answers, and that's okay. But start with the Gospel of John or Mark. Mark is short. It's only 16 chapters, right? Start with, Matthew, right? Whatever. Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Those are letters to churches, and they talk about how to live out normally. I should have put James up there. James is so good as well. Or, like I already shared, do a short Bible reading plan in the YouVersion app. You know, pick a 3-week one, or a 2-day one, or a 10-day one, or a half a year one, or a 2-month one, or whatever. And you can be on subjects. You can do a Bible reading plan through the book of. You could do that on YouVersion. There's Bible reading plans through the book of John, or through the book of Mark, or through Ephesians, or whatever. What I'm saying is, get a Bible, make a plan, and do it. Amen. Are you with me? All right, we've got a challenge for you. It's nothing new, but it's a new challenge. Formed. This is our formed challenge. Formed. You see what we did there? Formed. Hold up four fingers. Formed. Say formed. If anybody in this church in the next year walks by you and does this, what are you going to know? Formed. You're going to know. You're going to. What they're asking you without saying any words, dude, been reading your Bible 4 days a week? I have. It's our form challenge. You're going to hear it. We're just going to keep bringing it up till you're nauseated by it. You know why? Because we... another story just popped up in my headstand. Callie has a cough on her chest, and so Marnie got her medicine or whatever. She's pretty independent, Callie is. And Marnie was getting ready for work, getting Callie ready for school. She'd put the cough medicine on the table in the little cup, you know, thing for it. And Marnie went to do Marnie things, you know, whatever girls do. I don't even know what girls do in there. Been married all these years, and I just, like, the more I can avoid that knowledge, the better off I am. So she's doing girl things, and comes out, Callie's at the sink. And she's pretty good with bringing her dishes over to the sink and stuff. She's over at the sink. She's got her hand out like this. She's like, what are you doing? She's dumping out the medicine in the sink. She said, Callie, you need that medicine for your cough. I don't like it. We give her medicine because we know it's good for her. I know she doesn't like it, right? If someone's walking by you doing this, right? I know it can be hard. We can get busy. But you know why we're going to keep pushing this? Because it's medicine. We know it's good for you. I know the kind of person you'll become if you do this. And so we're just going to keep, you're going to be like, I don't want my medicine today. Be like, psh. Right? It's a thing. It's now a thing. It's part of COC history now. Formed. It's a thing. Formed. Do it one more time, everyone. Formed. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you that you have given us your word, and you've given us all these spiritual practices that we can transform our life as we just lean into these. You're changing us from the inside out. I thank you for hope and life, and we just ask for your presence to be on this congregation this week. Ask that you'd help us to get a solid 4 in this week, and we pray that we'd start to see the Holy Spirit changes from the inside out, God, as we just present our lives to you as living offerings. Thank you for being so good, in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Jesus changes everything.